The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you, for my whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power. Your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands.
I'm excited as we begin a new series that will carry us through Christmas and into the new year. The series is called Come to Worship. The series title comes from Matthew chapter 2:2, a verse in the middle of the Christmas story. This passage actually happens, some of us have thought that the wise men showed up, you know, just right after the shepherds, but the wise men actually took 2 years for them to journey. Jesus was about 2 years old when the wise men showed up, and as they entered town, the king Herod heard that these rulers, these wise men that were showing up and wanted to know, why are they here? And so they're looking for Jesus, and they come to Herod, and they say this in Matthew 2:2. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have what? The louder, we have what? We have come to worship. Question to you this morning is, why are you here? And my hope is that in our hearts, our answer would be that we have come to worship him. Unfortunately, in our culture and our society, we have turned God into a genie in a bottle. We think that he exists for us, that if we say the right prayers, if we attend the right number of meetings, if we do enough good things, that we will somehow rub Jesus the right way and he'll show up and say, okay, I'm here to grant your wishes. But that's not how it works with God. He does not exist for us. We exist for him. And my hope is through this Christmas season, we would look at how we are called to adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Come, let us worship him. And worship is more than just something that we should do in a setting like this for an hour or so a week. God does not call us to give worship, but to be worshipers in every area of our life. And so as we go through the series, we're going to look at some of the pictures of what worship looks like in Scripture. It's more than just words that come out of our mouth. It's more than just pretty music played by a choir or a band or an orchestra. Worship is a lifestyle, and God calls us to come and worship him. We are in a society, though, where if we think of God, we think of him as like a cosmic Coke machine. If we put the right amount of money in the offering plate, we push the right buttons, we'll get what we need from God. We think, oh, our life is falling apart. If we do enough religious things, God will somehow fix it. But that isn't the case. My hope is that our hearts are open to realize that God, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of the trials and struggles and things that happen in our life, God is still God. And God is still there to be worshipped. And my hope is that as a church, we do great reaching out and casting out our nets to those in need, taking care of the poor, going outside of our comfort zones to help those in need. But my hope is that as we continue to grow as the body of Christ, that we would grow to understand the depth and the importance of what it means to worship our God and King. So today we're going to focus on lifting our hands in worship. I know in some settings it can feel a little awkward. You know, some people, they don't want to be called on, so they don't want to raise their hand. And church circles, sometimes you walk in, especially if you're new to church, you'll walk in, you see some people holding their hands up, sometimes swaying, sometimes, you know, doing all kinds of weird motions, and you're like, what is going on? It's kind of awkward. It's kind of like seeing somebody make out. They love each other, but you don't want to see that, okay? Sometimes that's how it is. Some people get a little weird, and you're like, just do that at home, okay? But there is importance when it comes to worship. Tim Hawkins, a really funny Christian comedian, did this whole bit on worship. He talked about how, you know, some of you may be new to the whole raising your hand and worship thing. So he basically said there's a number of different kind of postures you can take, worship movements. And so I'm going to share those with you so that you're educated, okay? So if you're new to worshiping with your hands, you might want to start with this move. It's called carry the TV, okay? You just put your hands like this, and you just kind of, you can, if you're feeling spiritual, you kind of sway a little bit. But some of you, you want to step it up, and you're like, I got a widescreen, okay? And yeah, you're just in that moment, okay? For others, it's you know, I caught a fish. It was this big. It just be in that moment. For some of you liars, it's this big, you know. But for most, it's this big, you know. Those of you who are into sports, you know, you're like, when you go to games and your team scores, you're all cheering. And so some of you take that to church and you're the, oh, high five you, Jesus, high five, you know, good one. And you're just worshiping. And some of you, you're more the beauty pageant. You're just, this is also called the window washing worship, okay? And then if you really want to go for it, you got the, I forget what it's called. You got the YMCA, the Rocky, and the touchdown, okay? So let's get into our worship, okay? All joking aside, we are called to raise our hands. What is this about? Sure, it can feel uncomfortable, but I'm going to give you a heads up. At the end of this service, my goal is to make you all feel uncomfortable. So just get ready for it, all right? And we're going to lock the door so you can't leave. Mike, you got that back door. Thank you. We are called to raise our hands. Where does this come from? Let's look at a couple passages of Scripture. We're going to start with Psalm 63. Many of the Psalms were written by a man named David. David, the Bible says this of no other man but David. David was a man after God's own heart. At the same time, David was somebody who committed some terrible crimes. He had some deep sin in his life. And as a result of the sin and the things that he did, there were consequences. And there were times when everyone was against him, including his family. And there were times in those dark, desperate times that he had nothing to do but to call out to God. And here in Psalm 63, verses 1 and following, it says, this is David crying out. He's at one of the lowest points in his life, and he calls out and he says, you, God, you are my God, and I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you, as in a dry and parched land. There is no water. I don't know all your stories, but because I'm a pastor and some of you have opened up, I know that some of you are going through some seasons of dry and parched land. You're begging God for relief. You're calling out to Him. And my hope is that if you are in a time and a place where things are not going well, that you would come to know that God is there. And God is there for you, and God is there to be with you, and God is there to carry you. And here David is calling out to him, and he says, I call out to you. My soul longs for you. And some of you, my hope is that that's where you would be, even in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your storm, in the midst of you saying, I didn't think my life was going to be like this at this time, in the midst of you feeling like your family is falling apart, in the midst of you having a child that is just not going the right way, that you would come to know that God is still there. And He still wants to be your God, and you can still call out to Him, even in the midst of your circumstance and situation. We have to learn to praise God, not for how good things are for us, but how good He is always. Learn to praise Him and desire Him. The Christmas season has many times an interesting way of magnifying the hurts and pains in our life. A time of year that should be just magical and full of joy sometimes is just a reminder of the things we've lost. And it can be hurtful. that time of season and it's that time of year and we feel that way at times, God is there in the midst of it. David goes on and he says, I have seen you, God. I have seen you in your sanctuary. I have beheld your power and your glory. And because of your love, not because my life is great right now, because many times it's not, because of your love, though, because of your love, God, and because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you. My lips will glorify you. Just think about that. In the midst of David's trial, in the midst of his storm, he calls out to God and says, God, your love is better than life. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It never fails. You are always with me. And because of that, I cannot stop proclaiming your name. I cannot stop praising you. I cannot stop loving you. I need you, God. You are my God, even in the midst of my storm. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will what? I will lift up my hands. I will lift up my hands. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Hand raising is something that happens in our culture here and there. There are really two reasons why we might raise our hands. One is, like I've already alluded to earlier, you might be at your favorite sporting event or watching your team, unlike the Redskins on Thursday. But you're in that moment and your team is doing good. And what do? You jump out of your seat and you're like, go! And you're up. And even if you're a man, sometimes men at church are like, raising hands, that's like the woman thing to do. I'm just going to stand here and look manly. But there are times in victory where we raise our hands. And other times in life, that causes us to raise our hands is if someone comes up to us and sticks a gun in your face. I surrender, okay? Don't shoot me. Victory or in surrender. Why does God call us to raise our hands? Why do we do this? Well, there's a challenge actually from Paul. Paul was a missionary. He was one of the first church planters right after Jesus passed on the baton to his close followers and disciples and said, go now and love the world. Teach them everything I've taught you. Let them know about me. Baptize them in my name that they will come to know me as their Savior. Paul was one of those early converts and he started going out and spreading the good news of Jesus. And he took on some young men along his side on his travels. And this one young man, Timothy, he's mentoring him and pouring into him. And in 1 Timothy 2:8, he says, I want you to do this with the men that are in your life. And there are places in the scripture where we'll see the word men. And sometimes it will mean people, mankind. Other times it'll mean, you know, all humanity. In this particular case, Paul uses the word from man, male. Those of you who are boys and grown up to be men. And he says this to the men. Timothy, I want you to do this. I want all the men. I want you to teach them this. I want all the men everywhere to pray and to what? Lift up holy hands. Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, to lift up holy hands without anger and disputing. So he's not calling us to be ready to lift up these kinds of hands, but to lift up hands of praise. And I don't know, for some reason, I'll walk in even our services and I'll often see women with their hands up. But again, us men, we're just kind of there. I don't know why Paul here is calling out men, but you know what? I want to challenge each and every one of you men in this room to not let your wives and your children out-worship you, to set the tone and the pace, to declare that I am a man of God and I worship my King, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to lead in that kind of way. We need to be men who worship our God and King. I know another part that as I was thinking about reasons we raise our hands in victory or in surrender, if you take it all the way down to a lower extreme, think of babies. I know growing up, I was 8 years old when my first sister was born, 10 years old when my baby sister was born. And initially, they were cute, but babies scared me. I was afraid I might drop stop them. I might break them. I might do something wrong and mess up their life forever. And even to this day as an adult, sometimes when I see babies, you know, sometimes when you've had babies, I'll come and visit you in the hospital. I'll hold your baby. But inside, I'm like, don't drop it. Don't drop it. But I remember as I had my own children and my daughters, they're learning to walk, kind of doing that weird, you know, about to top over Frankenstein walk. And what turned my heart to them was remember them at getting to that stage and age where they would say their first, say Dada. And their hands would just naturally go up. And the way my heart would melt. And all fear about babies was gone. This was my child. She's calling me Daddy. And she's reaching out her arms to me. And what loving father in this world wouldn't extend his hands back and pick up that loving child who has her hands raised to their father? And I believe this is the picture that we can see with our Heavenly Father. That I believe that as we come to Him as His children and raise our hands in worship, I believe that the Father's heart is drawn to us. And James, it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. People, we need to become people who draw close to God and not just bear our problems and our struggles on our own, but come to Him and say, God, I need you. And I believe He will meet us here in the midst of those times. Draw near to God, James 4:8, and He will draw near to you. We come to Him when we need Him. We also come to Him and we offer up praise and hands raised as an act of offering. Many times we think of offering as just money we put in a plate when it's passed during a service. But we actually can bring God an offering of praise. Where does this come from? Look at, again, David writing in the Psalms, chapter 141. It says, O Lord, I'm calling to you. Again, this is another time when David's at a very low point in his life, and he's calling out to the Lord, and he's saying, please hurry. Listen to me when I cry to you for help, and accept my prayer as incense offered to you. All I have to offer you right now is my prayers. I need you and my upraised hands as an offering. So we lift up our hands to say, God, I need you. We lift up our hands to say, God, I offer myself to you. We lift up our hands as an offering. And some of us today, in a few minutes, I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable. Our worship team is going to get up there. And I'm going to make you all stand up and raise your hands. And yeah, you can protest. You can sit on your hands all you want. But let's see what God does. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking, I shouldn't have said that. But there's something that happens, even when we don't want to. Even when we don't want to, the scriptures say, I bring a sacrifice of praise. Even though my life right now is falling apart, even though my marriage is on the rocks, even though I can't pay my bills, God, I don't feel it, but I bring you a sacrifice of praise. I praise you not because of how good things are here, but because of how good you are. I bring a sacrifice of praise. We lift our hands because God loves it. We lift our hands to Him because it's an offering. We lift our hands because we're reaching out to Him. And when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. The next reason we might raise our hands is it's a declaration that in spite of the storm, in spite of the struggle, in spite of the trial, I am declaring battle against this. A beautiful example of this is from the life of Moses. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites are traveling on their way to the promised land, and this people group called the Amalekites comes up to attack them. And Moses says, tomorrow we got to get ready. Joshua, I want you to take the armies of Israel. I want you to go out and fight on our behalf. I'm going to go up on top of that mountain, and I'm going to pray for God. We need His power. We cannot do this on our own. And so look, in Exodus chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, it says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went to the top of the hill. And as long as his what? As long as he held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. Whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. It's kind of weird to picture, but winning. Losing. Winning. Losing. Winning. long as his hands were raised. And some of you right now, you're going through battles. And instead of just hanging your head down and woe is me, we need to lift up our heads to the sky and lift our hands high and say, God, in the midst of my battles, you are sovereign. You are king. You have control over everything that's going on. And even if this continues, even if this struggle continues, I still will praise you. I still will lift up your name on high. Moses, as he stood there praying, he lifted up the name of the Lord. And as long as his hands were up, the Israelites were winning. But the truth is sometimes our hands grow tired, don't they? You don't believe me? Put out your hands right now. What am I? All of you, come on. I'll leave them there till I'm done, okay? I'm just joking. You put your hands down. Some of you didn't even make it that long. So, wow, it's back. Some of us, we try to live this life alone. I've met some Christian, I have some Christian friends who are like, I love Jesus, but I can't stand the church. We think we can just live this life. And I've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's not enough. Actually, it's never not enough. Yes, you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, but God calls you to have a shared relationship with Jesus. God calls you to be a part of the church, the bride of Christ. In Hebrews, it says, do not forsake the assembly of the saints of coming together. Why? Because we need each other. Moses, as he was up on that hill, his hands began to grow tired. Look at verse 12. It says, when Moses' hands grew tired, his friends, they took the stone and they put it under him. And he sat on it. He had Aaron and Hur, and they came one on one side and one on the other. And they did what? They held his hands up so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. There are times when I need you. There are times when you need me. There are times when the battle is too hard to fight on your own, and you need to lean on God, and you need to call your brothers and sisters, your friends in Christ, who can come along your side and help you hold your hands up. Who do you have in your life? Be your Aaron or your Hur, that can come alongside you when you're growing tired and encourage you and keep your head up and your hands lifted to our Lord. When Moses' hands grew tired, they came alongside him. They stood with him in prayer. We need people to stand with us in prayer. Tuesday night, come. Let us stand together. Let us kneel together. Let us pray for one another. They stood together with him in battle. There are battles that you're dealing with, and you need somebody to stand with you. They stood by his side when others didn't believe in him. They believed the best for him, and they stood there and continued to hold his hands up, and you need somebody like that in your life. My hope is that as a church, we can be that for each other. I need it as much as you need it, sometimes more. Praying for each other, encouraging each other, lifting each other up. So it's time to get uncomfortable. I'm going to ask our worship team to come and get in place. There are two times in life that I mentioned when we'll often raise our hands. In victory, celebrating a win, or in surrender, please don't shoot me. But right now I want us, together as a body, whether you're a believer or not, I want you to sing. Sometimes you often sing stuff you don't believe in. How many of you sing to Taylor Swift all the time? I've seen you. Shake it off. Shake it off. Okay, so whether you believe it or not, if you don't even know who Jesus is, I still want you to try this. I want you to stand up with us, every single one of you. I want all of you to raise your hands to our God, and maybe you're like, I don't know what this is, but I don't want to be the only one not doing it. Then do it. I want you to stand up, and as our worship team leads us, did I miss something? As our worship team leads us, let us just focus on our God and King. My parents often would say to me, John, if you're distracted, just close your eyes and just imagine you're in a room all alone, and that your Heavenly Father is there, and as His child, just raise your hands to Him. God, I need you. God, I offer my life to you. God, I can't fight this battle on my own. Not because of how good I am, or not because of how good my circumstances are, but because of how good you are, I worship you. I call on your name. I lift up your name on high. Have your will unfold in my life. So now, as a body, let's do this together. I invite you to stand as our worship team leads us. Let us lift our hands to our Lord and our God, our King on high.